This is Amber.
And this is Shannon.
And you're listening to Twin Beaks, the Chicken Fanatics Podcast.
It's fucking great. And welcome to Twin Beaks Podcast. This is our first episode. My name's Shannon.
And Amber.
And we're here to talk to you about what we're going to be doing here with the podcast, because we know you're as much of a chicken fanatic as we are. So, Amber, why don't you talk about what some of your experience with chickens is, why you're interested in them, what you like about chickens, stuff like that. Just get familiar with the audience so they know who they're listening to.
Okay, so my obsession with chickens started young. My grandmother had many running about on her property, and I spent actually most of my time chasing them around and catching them and pampering them and watching them and learning all about them. And I've just always been obsessed with birds in general. I have been volunteering at a wildlife rescue hospital for the last 2 years. So we work with all kinds of birds, no domestic ones, but and I have had some very interesting experiences with chickens, including trying to have one as a pet that I got when it was about 3 days old. And it turned into a rooster, but by then I was already in love with it. So that took me down a strange path of figuring out how to have a pet rooster. Often in urban areas, he has lived indoors. His name was Gretel, and he had a little bed inside, and we figured out all kinds of ways to welcome him into our lives with, you know, all the challenges and obstacles of having a bird indoors. And he even has gone on some long bike trips with us. So
you've had some life experiences with chickens that I haven't heard a lot of other people have. A lot of people that I do know that have had chickens are doing some sort of farming operation or maybe a small backyard flock in the city, but you had a chicken more the way a person has a pet dog or something. So I bet most people have never met anybody running around with their pet chicken in tow. And you, from what I gather, took the little guy everywhere. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, he's kind of unusual because not only is he a pet chicken, which I've, you know, heard about before, but he was mostly an indoor chicken. It was kind of rare that he would sleep out in the coop. We made him a little soundproof box. We lined it with some egg crate and made it very dark. So we could sometimes manage to get him to sleep until, you know, 9:30 or 10 if we were extremely, extremely lucky before he started crowing his head off. So that's kind of interesting. And some other cool things about him is he was somewhat like a cat or a dog in some ways, in that he would seek out your affection and attention, and that seems like very rare.
An affectionate rooster.
Yeah, he would you know, you'd be sitting on the couch reading a book and he would spontaneously cluck on by and hop up on your lap and kind of perch there and ruffle out his feathers and get comfortable and just sit there and sometimes stick his head under his wing and just take a little nap while you're petting him and giving him a little chicken neck massage or something. And he's cool. He would come when I called him. He would sometimes get out on the street and I didn't know where he was, so I have to go out and call for him, and then he'd come running back up. And you know, we kind of got him to walk on a harness a little bit. We took him to some parks and cemeteries, and he kind of would tolerate it. So I think if you worked with a chicken enough, they could get used to it and could safely walk around with them, which is kind of cool.
So what did the public think when they saw you walking your rooster in a harness down the street?
Well, actually, everyone just loved it. Everywhere I went, people were curious about the rooster and why did you have him with you? Why did you leave him at home? You know, what's so special about this guy that you gotta, you know, we would, I didn't want to leave him in the car, just like a dog or something. It's a hot day, so I had a little pet taxi, and to the horror of my boyfriend, I put him on the bottom of the shopping cart, and we'd go grocery shopping, and every now and then he might crow, and everybody would look around and say, where's that coming from? But usually, when people realized what was going on, they were just absolutely delighted about this chicken. So,
isn't that funny? It's almost like people like chickens when they see them around, or, you know, I think it's kind of interesting that people's response to you bringing a farm animal basically into a grocery store was positivity. I guess I sort of imagined that people would worry about it getting on the food or something that.
He was very contained. It was very respectful and safe. And yeah, I think people do have a, generally when they see a pet chicken, they just seem enthusiastic and interested, and it makes them happy. I just see people smile. They're curious. They want to know if they can pet him or if they can feed him whatever it is they're eating, and interact with him in a new way that they're not used to with a chicken and haven't maybe thought about before. I mean, one time I went to a mycology seminar and I had to bring my chicken, so I couldn't find a chicken sitter. So chickens are, you know, they like to cozy up inside your jacket, so they just go to sleep when it's dark. So I put him in there. He was quiet almost the whole time. And then once he let out a crow, and everyone just kind of laughed and went, hmm. And then, you know, the thing went on. So that was pretty hilarious.
Everybody pretended like nothing happened.
Yeah, well, they I think some people are just astonished. But yeah, so, I mean, I'm a little bit crazy about chickens. I found it to be just such a wonderful experience. He was just so, he just adapted. And I guess that's why people love chickens so much, is they can kind of adapt to anything. He would even tolerate getting his spurs and nails painted different colors, walking around looking good, impressing all the ladies.
It didn't humiliate him, huh?
No, he didn't seem emasculated at all by the whole matter.
Even with his painted spurs.
Even so.
So yeah. Did you say chicken sitter?
Yes. Yeah, every now and then. You know, there's just some things you got to do without your chicken.
Okay, so this is what I'm curious about, because I've had a lot of chickens, and I had to find chicken sitters too, but I think for me it must have been completely different, because it was like, okay, go over here, open this door, make sure there's food there, make sure there's water there, come back at dusk, close the door, collect the eggs. But you had a chicken that was like into chilling with you on the couch.
Yeah.
And, you know, liked walks on a harness. So what did you tell people? Like, okay, I want you to watch my rooster, but listen, it's not what you think. It's going to be a little different. Don't be surprised if he cuddles you.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was out on, I also lived on a very large acreage in the desert. That was easy. I just said, hey, watch the chicken, make sure he gets, you know, put in the house at night. You know, that was simple. But other times I would be traveling.
And you mean like in your house?
Yes.
Not in some chicken house?
No, we had a little commune sort of thing, so.
And everybody went, yeah, make sure that the chicken gets put inside the house.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
People are very adaptable too.
Oh, so. Okay.
They can get used to a lot of things. So, yeah, when I had to find a chicken sitter, there wasn't too many times, but, you know, one time my mom and my grandmother put him in the sauna, and, of course, you know, he didn't get cooked. There was no, you know, it wasn't
an empty sauna.
An empty sauna.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, so he had his own little zone in there. She just put down some newspapers and a light, and he was a lonely little guy in there. They brought him food and hung out a little bit, but, you know, they kept an eye on him. And another time, my friend had some chickens already, but it's not as simple as just tossing him in there with those chickens, because, of course, they have their pecking order and they're going to fight. So we put him in an adjoining coop on the side that wasn't being used. And unfortunately, him and the other rooster tried to fight through the fence, and he got his comb a little messed up. So that, it was challenging, because he's so pampered and so spoiled that putting him into a normal chicken environment just seemed almost abusive. So we didn't do it too often. So, yeah.
Let's see. Wow, that's pretty amazing. So now you don't have him anymore, but you do have other chickens.
Yeah, we just have a more traditional chicken relationship now, where they stay out in the coop in our yard, and
You needed some personal space.
yeah, it was a little intense, you know. So
But I see that they still climb up the stairs and wait for you on the back porch if you don't put them away early enough.
that's right. They've been known to come up there and actually peck on the back door to try and get our attention and say, "Hey, put us up. We don't like being out here in the dark with the raccoons and the possums and such." So
Not that there's ever been any problems that I've seen, but you've got two. And
yeah, and I've done all, there were some horrifying problems in the infancy of my chicken projects. So I've since then learned a lot of different ways to predator-proof their enclosure to an extreme degree so that pretty much nothing can get in there. So they're very safe.
Department of Chicken Land Security.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, that's very good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're nice to have around, and they seem to be pretty happy in their little backyard back there. They do get to run around and such, so it's not like they just spend all their lives on a dirt floor and behind
Yeah.
wire, so to speak.
Yeah. And
Right.
we do take them in. We do take them inside sometimes and let them walk around. And I have some chicken diapers, which is a cloth apron style thing that you put little pads in so that
Oh.
they can cruise around in the house and not make a mess. So that's kind of fun.
I haven't seen you use those yet, though.
No. Yeah, haven't used them in a while. You might get to observe, though. It's pretty funny sometimes.
I can't imagine chicken diapers. That's,
And
yeah.
they look pretty cute. It's a nice style.
Cute.
Yeah.
Style.
Yeah.
Stylish
It's
chicken
very
diapers.
fashionable, you
You can
know?
paint their nails, put on a diaper, and take them on a walk on a chicken
I
harness.
think all they need is a funny little hat. You know those tiny hats people wear on steampunk tiny hats, you
Oh,
know? I mean,
steampunk chickens and diapers.
yeah.
Oh,
Well,
wow.
you know, why not?
Indeed, why not? Why not?
How about you, Shannon?
Well, like you, I got my start in harassing my grandmother's chickens, and that was a lot of fun. She had the Polish breeds with the big poofy heads, and I just thought they were fantastic. And of course, those guys can't see really well, so they're pretty easy to chase around for a little kid and catch them, and they don't, get too aggressive with you or anything. So I really got to like them. But of course, at the time I was a city kid, so I never got to really have chickens of my own until my parents moved out to the country. And that was when I got my own flock and I raised them up pretty good. Eventually, I learned why you keep a fence around chickens. My parents' dog was not very chicken friendly, and that was the end of my chicken escapades for probably about 10 or 15 years. In my early 30s, I got a piece of property that was mostly raw land, 100 acres in the hills outside of the San Francisco Bay Area, and I wanted to, homestead it, so I got chickens for eggs mostly, and started a little breeding operation, and before you know it, I went chicken crazy, and I had 100 birds. So I had all kinds of birds, Polish varieties, several different kinds, silkies. I even had some frizzles, which, if you've ever seen a naked neck frizzle, they're a very unique looking bird, let's say, kind of a freak show, really. But they're actually really good birds to have because they're very docile and very quiet, which is something for city people to consider. The roosters, you can hardly hear them at all, and they're very not aggressive, so they're a really good bird for kids, actually. So, yeah, so are the Polish varieties, actually. I was also raising turkeys, and boy, I loved having them around for several years. I trained my dog to be good with chickens, so they would even take little rides around on my Doberman. And I just had a chicken crazy life. Sometimes they got into the house, sometimes they lived under the house. They were always running around the yard, laying eggs all over the place. It was just a lot of fun.
So you had 100 acres and you just let your chickens roam around in the wild. It's kind of a lot of chickens. You said you also had 100 chickens. So how did you protect them from predators?
Oh yeah. So out there is a little bit different than living in the city, because you've got just as more predators to consider, actually. There's not just raccoons and possums like usual urban wildlife, but there's foxes, there's raptors, so you've got death from above, and we've got mountain lions there.
Mountain lions?
Yeah, mountain lions, big 9-foot-long cats, no joke.
Wow.
They're serious.
Maybe I'm a chicken because I'm afraid of those myself.
Well, I think that would be sensible there. Yes. Terrified of? No. I mean, mountain lions really don't usually want to tangle with people, and they kind of only go, the times they do go after people, it's people that are acting oblivious to, like, they've got headphones on in the middle mm-hmm. of nowhere, something like that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So, well, that's kind of a tangent, but the point is that they're not all that frightening, but they're definitely something to be concerned of. So, anyway, yeah, how did I protect them? Well, where I was going with that was, it's not like in the city where there's big bowls of dog and cat food all over, open dumpsters, all of that. That's like, food has to be earned out there. So it's, you're a fox and you're looking at taking down something like a small baby deer, which could fight back, really. Or you're a mountain lion looking at taking down a deer, which could really fight back. And then you're looking at this nice thin wire box with these 40 just beach ball shaped birds that are kind of just walking around looking like they're not paying attention to much of anything, and you're just thinking, man, I gotta get in there, right? So for one thing, so basically what I had was a cab over. It's like a travel trailer that you stick in the back of a pickup truck, so it doesn't have its own wheels. It just fits in the back of a pickup truck, one of those things. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about that was it had ventilation for windows. I stripped all the stuff out of it. You know, there wasn't like a chicken roosting on the sink or anything like that. this was just the shell of it. And it's very lockable. You mm-hmm. can, at night, yep, you can just put gate hardware on the doors, slam the doors at night, and there's nothing that can get in that thing. You know, it's an aluminum box, and I took fireplace screening and stapled it over the windows, which slid, so you could open the windows, and the windows were wired shut. So
cool.
It was pretty much impossible for anything to get in there without a crowbar. I mean, maybe a bear could do it, but we didn't have bears there, so I didn't have to worry about that. So that was what they slept in at night. And they had the sense to, you know, I'd open up the door and they'd all come running out in the morning and scatter all over the place. And then sometime as the sun was going down, they'd all head back in there. So all wow. I had to do was go in there and shut the door.
Yeah, I was wondering that. So you let them run all around and they all come back and are ready to roost around sunset?
So around the cab over, mm-hmm. I had a small fenced off area, and by small I mean about 20 by 30, and that had a gate.
Uh-huh.
So if I wanted to, I could just keep them in a smaller yard,
uh-huh.
which is good for when you've got to handle them or, for whatever reason. And then around that, I had my overall yard, which my house was in, you know, and that was about, I don't know, an acre, mm-hmm. acre and a half. And that was 6-foot high chain link.
Oh, wow.
There were gates, you know. Mm-hmm. So the birds could get out of that, but they didn't really want to, because
yeah.
they knew that I think they knew that that was like the safe zone.
Yeah.
My dog was always there, and the chickens understood that my dog kept everything that they had to worry about, except hawks, away most of the time. So they knew that they should go in the box at night, and they knew that they didn't really need to go outside of the yard. And I think that what would happen was they'd occasionally get out of the fence, right? And then they'd wander off, and then they couldn't figure out how to get in.
Oh.
And as the sun went down, they'd start freaking out.
Yeah.
And then you'd find one, like, running, pacing back and forth across the outside of the fence, trying to figure out how to get in. And then me would have to go out and sort of, I liked moving chickens. I'd get like a big 6-foot-long stick.
Uh-huh.
Because it really increases my side-to-side range. So what birds try to do when they try to get away from you is run sideways and around. So you could reach out with the stick and tap with the tip of it, and it would bring them back to center, so to speak, if that makes sense.
That totally makes sense.
I'm showing Amber with hand gestures, and of course that's not helping a lot on a podcast.
But I understand. I think most people probably kind of do that with their arms when they're trying to herd their chickens, so you just got a little extra reach.
But you've got this big long stick, which isn't just for range, but you can also make that shh noise by like swinging it through the air, and that makes the bird go, whoa, something, you know. It just generally drives it in the right way. So yeah, I drive the chicken back around and through the hole, and the individual bird might do that a couple days in a row, and then decide that being outside of the fence was not where it was at. And they don't like to get away from each other either. They like to be with the crowd. So if one or two of them does it, they find themselves trapped on the outside and the crowd starts to move away, and then they try to get back in. So
do you say that chicken kind of learned?
Oh, like sure.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Chickens definitely learn.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way my yard was set up, it was all of these different pens, you know, that they could navigate through, in and out of, that I could divide the population up into different groups. And then those were all gated. So they learned which ones were open, which ones were closed, you know, how to navigate around the maze of it all. Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
I'll tell you one thing they learn really fast. They learn how to get inside your house. And you open the door, leave the door open, and which you might have to do if you have a dog. And you kind of need the dog to protect the chickens. But, I mean, well, you don't really need a dog, but it definitely is a big deterrent. The chickens get inside. God forbid they find something on your floor. Or I think they can just smell that there's food in there.
I was going to say, why do you think they would want to go in the house? It's such a foreign territory for your normal chicken.
Well, for one thing, they live in a house. And they've learned that the house means safety and protection.
That's true, huh?
And warmth and not getting rained on. So maybe they just, hey, look, this is like our box, but the human comes out of it, and the dog.
Well, that would be pretty cool.
So maybe we ought to check out roosting in there.
Yeah, maybe they're smarter than we think.
Whenever anybody talks about chickens being smart, I always say they're very good at being chickens. You know, because chickens can, there are some things that they will just never figure out that just make you shake your head. And then there are things that they figure out right away, you know, that they almost have an intuitive understanding of. And one of those is shelter, and the other is food, you know. And they are darn
all the
good
bases
at shelter
covered.
And food. Yeah. they definitely learn where your front door is. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So that's how I kept them safe. And, you know, predation is a concern. You do lose a couple anyway. Sometimes a hawk just drops out of the sky and nails one of your birds. It only happened to me twice, and I saved one of them.
Oh, how did you save it?
Okay, so when you have chickens for long enough, you kind of learn their chatter, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The clucking and picking little fights with each other. And then you learn the, I'm trying to
use polite language,
the uh-oh, we're all in trouble call.
Well, they do make specific sounds for specific predators even. There's been some studies. But anyway, I don't want to interrupt you, but I just want to mention that.
Yeah, oh, sure. They've got individual, sure. And so, you know, I just heard the chickens outside and went, oh, that's the serious business noise, not the ambient chicken, or even we're having an argument, you know, the holy crap alarm, you know, I don't know what else to say. So I got up and ran outside and just as I'd gotten outside, I saw this hawk drop out of the sky into my yard, and my hens, they're very good at being chickens, and what they'll do is they'll all run for cover, you know, so they all ran into the bushes, but this hawk got one of them, and the hen, you know, was about its size, and it ran into the bushes with this hawk stuck to it. Because it knows that the hawk can't maneuver in there and it'll get its wings caught up and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's just run into the bushes as tight
as you can.
Scrape the hawk off, basically. Yeah, make it work to hold its grip. And the dog went running in at there, and then I, you know, came running and jumped into the bushes, too. And I think at that point, the hawk just said, oh, this isn't worth it at all, you know? Better to live to fight another day.
Not a cheap date.
You can't afford, you know, there's a rule in nature, and it's injury is very expensive. So you only get injured if it's really, really worth it, you know? Because if you get injured, there's no Band-Aids, you know? It's easy to get infected.
Could cost your life.
And you can die from something kind of trivial. So yeah, that hawk just went, I'm going to end up the worst for this. And got away.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
The other time I actually caught the hawk.
No, are you serious?
Yeah, I did.
How did you do that?
I don't know if I should admit this, actually, but I suppose if they're going to come and get me for it, so be it. Don't worry, the hawk does not get harmed in this story, okay? just to make that really clear, I didn't hurt the hawk at all. So what happened was, remember I said I had the cab over?
Yeah.
And the little yard that was about 20 by 30, that was also 6 foot high, but it was chicken wire, not chain link. And the hawk had dropped into that enclosure, and because it was such a tight space with high walls, it's when they take off to fly, I saw it go in there, and I ran down in there, and actually I looked down and I saw this chicken, this hawk on top of my chicken.
Oh, no.
With the chicken running back and forth across the yard and the hawk trying to kill it.
Oh, no.
So I ran the heck down there, burst through the gate, and of course the hawk went, uh-oh, big angry monkey. But it's not like when they take off, they just helicopter straight up into the air, right? They take off at an angle, so it would take off at an angle and hit the inside of the enclosure and fall down on the ground.
Oh, that's no good.
So I ran over there to get it the hell out of my yard, and it just pommeled itself 3 or 4 times really hard against the chicken wire, so that by the time I got over there, it was kind of just lying on the ground. And I also, like you mentioned about yourself, have experience with wildlife rehab, so I know how to catch a hawk, folks. Don't just run up and try to grab a hawk. It will cut you. It will cut you. Bad. No, it's true.
Don't mess around with them.
Yeah. So anyway, I'd been trained how to do this. I threw a towel over it, grabbed it by the feet the correct way, which I'm not going to describe, and immobilized it, you know, so that, and because I figured that it was likely it had injured itself at that point, and I might need to take it to rehab, you know. And if not, then I could just take it somewhere else and let it go instead of just chasing it back up into the air and having to deal with it, maybe trying it again next week or who knows, right?
Right.
So I caught it and I threw it in my dog's giant extra large dog carrier and I shoved some sticks, a stick through the
ventilation in it.
Holes, yeah. So that it had something to maybe climb up on, put a towel in there, some water, and just left it for a few hours until it kind of snapped out of its being stunned.
Yeah.
And actually, that chicken died.
From the injuries from the, from the hawk?
Yeah, it was just too torn up.
Oh.
And I actually ended up feeding the hawk some of the liver from the chicken it killed just to make sure that it was okay. So it ate, and I said, okay, if it's eating, then it's probably fine.
Yeah.
And I drove it 10 miles down the road, got out at a turnout, and just threw it.
Release.
Which, if you don't know what you're doing there, will be very bad for you.
Please don't mess around with raptors.
Or learn what you're doing.
If you can volunteer, you might get some experience with raptors and many other birds.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different
ways. A lot of things you can do.
Good training. That's the important part, is get trained.
Yeah, you don't want to get hurt yourself and you don't want to hurt the bird. So very important to know what you're doing.
For that matter, that goes, that's true with chickens too. Mm-hmm. It's always a good idea if you can find somebody that's worked with chickens before, if you've never had chickens before, because not just for the benefit of the chickens, but for the benefit of yourself, because a lot of things can go wrong that you might find out later you could have easily prevented, and you'll save yourself a lot of heartache and trouble if you have a mentor.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, if you pick up a chicken right, they kind of don't thrash about too much and scratch you up. And if you do it wrong, you know, gonna get a wing in the face, get taloned. Yeah,
from somebody that knows.
Know their anatomy so you don't harm them. So,
although I don't know. Oh, I'm kind of reluctant to steer people towards YouTube to learn things. But on the other hand, YouTube does have a lot
of
videos.
Lot of things.
So you can actually watch people do things like pick up chickens.
I would say just always go to more than one source. Like I usually go for, when I'm learning something new, at least three different sources to kind of see if they're all the same, if there's any discrepancies. Kind of look into it more and see why people might have those differing opinions before you just jump into something, you know.
And
it's a good
also,
idea.
Sometimes there's not just one right way to do things. There might be three different ways to do it in three different
situations. Totally true. Yeah.
There are.
Absolutely true.
I've had to pull chickens out of some pretty weird places before.
Wow. I'd love to hear more about it sometime.
Oh, birds get stuck in funny places, especially when you've got a lot of them. But point being, I didn't exactly pick up the chickens the textbook way that time, you know? Yeah.
Wow, that's very fascinating stuff. I love those stories. So what did you decide to do next after living on that land for so long and raising all those chickens?
I moved eventually from the property out to back to the city, and that was where I met Amber. And of course, we quickly both discovered that we were both chicken fanatics. And naturally that led to, well, why don't we do a podcast about chickens? Because doesn't everybody love chickens? And if they don't, it's just because they need to be educated. No, really. That's what we want to do, is we want to evangelize the wonders of having chickens and all of the great things that come with that. And that probably leads us to what we're going to cover here on the podcast, because we plan on having a lot of different things to share with you guys. Of course, there's the backyard city chicken raising and all of the things that come with that, and the normal things that you talk about when you talk about chickens, how to feed them, how to take care of them, the natural cycles of the chickens, the different types of breeds. But we also want to take things into, let's call it, extreme chicken raising. So let's see, what do you think we could tell them about in terms of some more of the interesting chicken stuff? Like, there was you who had your pet rooster that you took around with you everywhere.
And had to try to figure out kind of like hormonal treatments for the rooster for crowing and all kinds of bizarre things to be able to keep him without, you know, other people in my life getting upset by the noise and racket. So that's pretty interesting. And, you know, how to live with chickens maybe in your house if you like them that much, and how to adapt to their needs, and you know, maybe a little herbal DIY medicine for chickens, their health, maybe their language, trying to understand them.
The language of the chicken.
Oh gosh, and I would love to just look up strange and unusual stories and folklore about the chicken, and you know, maybe interview people about their experiences living with chickens, especially in a more of a, you know, as a pet, because they're such fascinating creatures. And when you really get close to a chicken and get to know them, there's a lot that doesn't, you know, isn't apparent at first glance. So, yeah.
But we also want to cover things like how chickens might fit into a permaculture structure, and maybe how chickens do in different environments, because really chickens, people have them all over the world, right? All sorts of different environments, everything from inner cities to out in the country, all different biomes, chickens in the beach, chickens in the desert, nomadic chickens. We just saw a video of this guy who's going around the world on a sailboat, and he's bringing his chicken, right? Surfing chicken.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, nautical chicken.
His chicken rides on a surfboard with this right. fellow.
You wouldn't believe it until you saw it, but... And it didn't look that freaked out about it either,
huh? It seemed
huh?
to be enjoying it.
Along for the ride. Yeah,
probably. The whole side of chickens that...
No,
wow,
I...
Unexplored.
if it only knew what was in the water down there, right? But it's probably better... Better she doesn't. But yeah, so we're going to cover the spectrum of all things chicken, because if you're chicken obsessed, you just want to know it all. We'll cover movies about chickens, and maybe, well, of course, and we're going to have to touch upon, you know, the darker issues, you know, the mass production chicken factories, and maybe a little bit of the politics that go into chicken farming and all of those sorts of issues too. So there's also lots of things to talk about too in terms of how to raise your own chickens. And we'll let you in on a secret of how you can cut your food costs for chickens in half. And I don't mean by giving them more foraging space either, and provide them a better nutrient profile. You'll be amazed at how simple it is. We can talk about kids and chickens, and there's a lot of subjects around that too, you know, how to raise kids that are sort of in tune with where their own food comes from, how to balance the sort of emotional tension between raising pets and food in the same animal. There's a lot of different things that we could go through that. So I think that we're going to be providing you a very interesting show that is going to cover a wide range of topics. Hopefully we will have some product reviews, because one thing that is new in the world of chickens is, well, let's not call it new, let's call it a resurgence, because the truth is that only up until recently everybody kind of had their own chickens. In fact, I've seen ads from World War II saying that, you know, raise chickens to support the war, right? So there's a backyard chickens were the solutions for defeating our enemies in world wars. And so it's not really so much a new thing as we're going back to it. More and more people are interested in raising their own chickens, so we're going to want to talk about those sorts of issues as well.
Yeah, and just constantly researching and looking into new uncharted territory and fascinating facts and history, and just always, you know, trying to bring more interesting.
So where I was going with that before is that with this increased interest in, you know, small-scale chicken raising, there's been a proliferation, a plethora of products that have been offered to the public for their chicken purposes. So some of those are a good idea, and some of them are kind of junk and better in theory than practice. So we're going to, you know, cover some of those topics and see what measures up in terms of poultry production.
And especially focusing on how to do it yourself a lot of times, I'll probably be providing patterns for things and, you know, projects you can do for your chickens. So
and we'll
to save money.
We will, of course, share stories too, and that's where you, the audience, get to become part of the podcast. We're setting up a web page, and we're going to have a forum. So we want to hear your own experiences with chickens, because we're chicken crazy, and we haven't done everything there is to do with chickens. So, you know, maybe you've gotten your hands on a rare breed like the I Am Samani that lays black eggs and has black meat, and you want to tell us all about what those birds are like, and I'd love to hear it, because, you know, the different breeds have different personalities. I can tell you that firsthand. I've had some of the more jungle fowl related chickens, and that is a very different animal than the Polish breeds.
Mm-hmm. Pretty wild bird.
The jungle fowl mm-hmm. ones are, yeah. Whereas the Polish ones don't know what's going on in the world around them. They just kind of rely on you to take care of them, and they're very, very placid. And the jungle fowl birds are more like raising a pinball. Well, it's true. It's true. And of course, we've got our own stories, some of them quite humorous, that we can share. There's stories of chicken heroism, narrow escapes from death with against the elements, predators, all sorts of things, you know. So, Amber, what's coming in the mail in a week?
I'm expecting a chirping package pretty soon. I'm actually going to order some day-old chicks from My Pet Chicken, and it's going to be very exciting. You might get to hear some peeping on our show soon. And they're a wonderful company. They're very ethical, and they raise the babies actually mostly with the intention to get them to people who want them as pets and want them less traumatized than some of the, you know, meat birds and farmyard birds. So it's pretty neat. They do everything they can to make them comfortable and ship them right away. They all hatch on the same day and ship them on a little heating pad. So we'll be able to follow us raising the chicks over the next couple weeks to months, and it should be really exciting, and we'll get to hear all about it.
So how many are you getting?
We're getting 8 chickens.
Eight
chickens.
So we're going to have 8 little co-hosts pretty soon,
That's
huh?
right. They'll have a lot to say, I'm sure.
Well, we're going to let them have their say.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully they won't have too many bad things to say about
it. I hope they don't have too many complaints.
Too many complaints, exactly. That's right. Only happy chickens here at the Totally Crazy Twin Beaks podcast.
That's right.
Well, okay, so I think we've been going on. Probably ought to wrap it up for the first episode. We just wanted to introduce ourselves and introduce our podcast to you, the listener. Wet your beaks for what's to come. and so stay tuned. We'll be keeping you up on the exciting development of raising our little peepers that are coming in the mail. And you'll hear all about it, and stay tuned for lots of all things chicken content to come.
Yay, thanks for listening.
Good evening, and welcome to Piece of Mouse Theater. Piece of Mouse Theater presents Death Metal Rooster, with music by Ewan Perry from Talonass. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen, to the Twin Beaks podcast. Big fat worms and chocolate bar thank yous to Amber for doing all of the button flipping, knob turning, and computer wavelength doings that makes this podcast sound absolutely excellent, amazing, and makes it possible. Once again, folks, thank you for tuning in to the podcast. Many more to come. Stay tuned.